And welcome back to the Back to the Good Life podcast. My name's Nikki.
And my name's Mr. G.
And this week's episode, we are going to be talking about how we're encouraging wildlife into our home and our garden. Mr. G, do you want to start off by letting our lovely listeners know what we're going to be covering this week?
Well, I suppose it's going to be a garden-sized topic, really. I mean...
And our garden's very small sized, so small topic.
But I suppose the first thing is to be able to try and encourage as much wildlife into the garden as possible.
Yeah, definitely. Now, as long as it's not slugs.
Well, we'll get to that a little bit later on, darling.
My hatred of slugs runs very, very deep.
But I suppose the first thing is like pest prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And also just the encouragement of the wildlife is you can, we have a, declining population in hedgehogs, especially over the last few years, it's become quite noticeable.
Yeah, it's something scary. It's something like 90% of hedgehogs are gone. I don't know if that's the exact statistics, but
it's
really, really high. So basically, if you see a hedgehog, you're not only very, very lucky, but that is basically it. You're very, very lucky, and so make sure they're very safe.
Our seeing of hedgehogs and
we saw one the other day, didn't we?
We did.
Hedgehog.
Jumped out the car and ushered it onto the road and into the onto the path and into
because he was very lucky. I mean, thankfully, I kind of because I was driving and I thought, is that like a paper bag or something in the road? Until we got closer, I was like, oh my god, it's a hedgehog, like a little hedgehog cog running across the road.
But to be able to encourage them into the garden is quite a useful thing.
Yeah, and you had a way of doing that, didn't you?
Well, the whole idea is being able to like. If you've got fencing around the garden,
mm-hmm.
Especially wooden fencing, panelling.
Yeah, well, we've got that.
If you just cut yourself a 10-inch by 10-inch sort of hole in the bottom of it so that they can wander through and
do the hedgehog
have a bit
thing.
Of hedgehoggy thing. Yeah, I mean, they are great slug repellents.
Oh, great. Then I think we should be cutting holes in the whole fence. In fact, take the fence down, encourage them in. Put a little sign up saying hedgehogs welcome.
They are quite prolific slug eaters, apparently.
That's good. I like those. I've decided.
So maybe we should start having some sort of hedgehog sanctuary for you then.
I'm quite happy with that. If they eat slugs, I'm happy. In fact, when I used to live with my parents and we had chickens, and they've still got one chicken left, Ramona the chicken. When I used to live with my parents, the chickens loved slugs. So you'd go out there and find a load of slugs and like chuck them in a thing of water, obviously not salt water because you're giving us chickens. Next day, just chuck them in with the chickens. Oh, they were quite evil.
That sounds quite murderous.
Yeah, but it's slugs. I'm happy to murder slugs. Like, I'm a nature-loving person, but slugs and me don't get on at all.
Well,
and if it's me
or
the slug, the slug's going.
Come to other repellents of slugs shortly.
Yeah, we're supposed to be talking about encouraging wildlife, not how much I'd like to kill slugs.
But, I think the whole hedgehog preservation is really quite important, especially to the UK environment, because they are really, really a native sort of animal.
Yeah, and they're so endangered.
So the population decline is something that we have really taken for granted over the last few years, decade.
Yeah, it's scary. So anything we can do to encourage them in, I think, is a good idea. So
that's indeed.
Your job for the weekend. Cut loads of holes in the fence. We can encourage
take
a
the
hedgehog.
Fence down.
Take the fence down and encourage the hedgehogs.
Okay. That doesn't stop trespassers, unfortunately.
Or losing the dog, which is maybe we should just cut holes in the fence and maybe not take the fence down. Okay.
So, what else do we have in our garden that we're trying to encourage and sure that it is quite safe.
Yeah, what I'd really like to do this year, because we haven't really done it much, is to make our pond a little bit more of a wildlife pond. Because at the moment, it's kind of just like a hole with water in it and a filter. That's literally all that's in it at the moment. So there's no flowers, there's no plants.
I was going to say, you're looking at some foliage or water-based plants.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. We have to be careful of the filter. We have to be careful of the filter anyway. For anyone who's listening, if you do have a pond filter, be careful about the fountain one that we've got. So it sucks the water in, sends it through the filter, and then comes out as a nice little fountain water feature. We've put a piece of net in over the sucky inny bit because the inlet, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you, my love. Because it's indiscriminate when it sucks in, and unfortunately, that's not good for the wildlife. So after a bit of an unfortunate accident with an aquatic thing, we put a piece of netting over it, and thankfully that stopped anything being sucked in that shouldn't be sucked in.
Yeah.
Also makes the filter last a bit longer because you're not getting all the algae.
It works quite well as a filtration system as well.
Yeah, I think it was just a bit of old net curtain that I had hanging around that I literally just cut a corner off and used a hair tie to attach an elastic band. So it wasn't like I went and bought anything special for it. But we've got that. So I want to kind of make the, because our pond's quite deep. It's about a foot and a half deep.
So but it's only get about some long grasses 3 foot in square. There.
Yeah.
Some long grass. I mean, we can make sure that it's managed so that it doesn't become overgrown. Yeah, I think the previous owners
had fish in it, but I'm not really interested in fish. But I'd like to encourage more wildlife because we have seen some frogs in there. Yeah, I don't think there's any frog spawn in there, though, last time I looked. So I don't think they're actually laying frog spawn.
Which probably means that this time of year, I'm not sure whether frogs are actually spawning at the moment or not.
I don't know.
But it might mean that we don't actually have, we just have them as visitors.
Yeah, there was two in the pond the other night when I went out and I was doing a little sweep of what's going on in the garden. And there was two little froggies looking at me like, hi. Like little heads in the water. It was quite cute.
But with that, with frogs and newts and anything that's water-based.
Yeah.
We want to really try and make sure that they have a way of being able to get out of the pond as well. So some sort of almost like a rockery corner or something like that.
Yeah, we should do that because at the moment it's kind of just a sheer drop from the side of the pond.
Yeah, which is quite difficult for anything to try and get out.
Especially if you're a little swimming creature, that's a bit tricky. We did see, I think last year, and I put this up on our Instagram as well, that we had some newts coming into garden for the last couple of years in a row actually.
Yeah.
And one of them, I don't think it was last year, I think it was the year before, one of them, we think, having talked to some of the neighbours, was actually a great crested newt. And they're quite rare, endangered and stuff.
Because it had the orange speckled
belly.
I think they're classed as endangered. So really quite lucky to have something like that, especially in our back garden.
Yeah, we're quite close to our wildlife pond. It's literally just like a few meters away from the house. So it's kind of, I think they live in that pond and they were kind of like wandering into the garden to see what was edible.
As part of our community project, we are trying to make sure that is as welcoming to all wildlife as possible.
Yep, absolutely. Just not the teenagers.
that's not wildlife, that's just riffraff, darling.
I don't know if you've seen them. It's like living in a zoo sometimes. But we're trying to make it wildlife friendly because we've now got ducks on that pond.
That's really good,
a couple of ducks that are making their little home on their pond.
Roots in our local neighbourhood.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Nice.
It really is.
That is nice. I mean, if it's let's say just encouraging our biodiversity, it can only be a positive thing.
I really want to see. I don't know how we encourage them, but I saw them once or twice at Mum and Dad's when I lived there years ago, and they had, I don't know whether they're slow worms or grass snakes or whatever they are.
Slow worms.
But they actually look like little mini snakes. They're very cute. I'd
say, do you know that slow worms aren't actually snakes? They are lizards. Legless lizards.
They shouldn't go out on a Friday night then, should they? I know their game. Isn't basically a legless lizard a snake?
No.
Isn't it the same thing?
No, not the same thing.
Why are they
One's a reptile, one's a serpent.
I might be corrected now. The face that just basically goes, I didn't know there was a difference between reptiles and serpents.
Yeah, no, I'm sure slow worms are classed as legless lizards.
Oh, we'll have to have a look into that and see how we can encourage them in, because I quite like them. They're cute.
I think, yeah, I know, they are lovely.
Yeah, they are cute.
So, we'll have to research more on whether they are.
Yeah, we'll have to. That'd be interesting. And how we can encourage them in.
Or snakes.
Legless lizards, drunk lizards. Brilliant.
I think, just before we come off of that topic, I think we have something like 12 species of lizards in the UK.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I think there's something like that.
That's amazing. You just don't think they're a UK creature, do you? Because we're not exactly warm.
No.
And most lizards like warmth. I thought they do.
I would imagine that there is some sort of hibernation thing. I'm not...
Yeah, apparently the newts live in the ground. That's what the
they burrow into the mud banks of ponds.
Neighbourhood place when we were doing the Neighbourhood Watch Association for the pond. He was saying that they actually literally burrow into the mud and then live there for a few months. That's why we're not allowed to do any digging or anything anywhere around, because they were talking about shoring up the edge of the pond to make it a little bit more robust and better for people to kind of sit out and enjoy. But we can't even think about touching it until after their hibernation season.
To be honest, I wouldn't even bother with it.
No, it looks fine the way it is.
If we're using it for the wildlife, then
that's what it should be for.
That's what it should be for.
Yeah, we are getting a bench there, so that's always nice. But yeah.
But moving on, coming off of that topic, we want to really try and make sure that we've got enough pollinating.
Yeah,
for our,
yeah, we're definitely looking into that.
For bees
and other pollinators
and other pollinating animals.
They're having a rough time now.
Insects.
We were talking earlier about the article I saw in the news today that the DEFRA have approved. I don't know enough about it, so I don't really have an opinion either way. But they've approved for emergency use this pesticide for beets crops, sugar beets. They said in the article that something like 70% of the UK's sugar beet is at risk from this pest. So they've approved for emergency use this pesticide that will help that whatever the pest it is for the sugar beet, but it's really harmful to bees.
That's really...
So it doesn't sound great.
Quite conflicting in my opinions of...
As I say, I don't know enough about it to really have a well-formed opinion, but I think it's important to read these things and to kind of look at it and think
logistically,
what's going on. I mean, on a kind of first glance, it doesn't sound like a great idea, but then again, I'm also not a scientist, so
yeah. There must be reasons why, it's been approved and shown that it's going to be effective in the form that it's being used.
I'm hoping that there's been a lot more research done and there's been a lot more like advertising done about how important bees and other pollinators are. So, I mean, I don't think the homeowners are going to be able to...
I think it's really worldwide, though.
Yeah, it is. But there's been so much more advertising about how important they are, which does mean that homeowners are now a little bit more thinking about, you know, what
a little bit more
flowers
aware
can I put out and stuff like that. You're seeing a lot more people now buying flower seeds and flower bulbs that specifically say for pollinators.
Pollinating, yeah.
We've been kind of doing that this year. We've got...
Yeah, well, again, this is another reason for our wild garden.
Yeah.
Is to be able to try and encourage insect life and pollinating. Mm. Because it's just part and parcel of the natural equilibrium of what we have.
Our worry is about whether or not the dog will go and attack the bees. So
if he does, he's going to end up with a puffy face. That's all I can
say.
Yeah,
it's a very expensive vet bill, that one. But no.
Bit of antihistamine, it'll be fine.
Yeah. That's not a recommendation for anyone listening, by the way. We're not vets either. But no, we were talking about putting flower troughs on top of the fences so that actually they've got quite a high up amount.
Yeah.
And outside the front of the house, there seems to be... It's not a competition between the neighbours at all, but it's definitely more and more neighbours are putting flowers and flower boxes.
I think that's
out.
Just because once one starts a trend, everybody else wants to be able to.
Well, our neighbour down the road made a like a pot holder thing out of wood, and that looks really nice. You've promised me a pot holder thing, haven't you, my love?
I have.
You only started it in
very
September.
Deep
so.
Stairs of this, so. It should be something that's finished.
It should be, but you know, well, you'll get around to it, my darling, won't you?
Maybe.
Eventually.
Someone.
But no, we've got troughs of flowers on the wall. So we've now got crocuses are beginning to flower, and the dwarf daffodils are literally right at the edge of flowering. I was looking at them today. They are so close to flowering. It's great.
See,
they'll be hopefully by the weekend, I reckon. They need a bit more sunshine.
Seems that we are, I say early, but I suppose we are rapidly into drawing into spring further and further.
Yeah.
I think the 1st of March was classed as the meteorological spring.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So
it's a day
we are
day, isn't it?
Definitely on the cusp of.
I can't remember where I read it. It might be one of those like ancient Celtic stories things, but this time of year is known as the quickening because the environment changes quite rapidly, almost like a day by day, hour by hour, from kind of like deep, horrible winter off up to lovely summertime.
That
so it feels like it goes
mind
very quickly.
Of a film.
I don't want to know, do I?
No, not really.
No.
Not unless there can be only one. And
right,
if anybody
we'll move on from that one.
If anybody
that
knows Highland,
though,
you will know the connection.
Oh, dear, that sounds very nerdy. Let's move on from that one straight away, then.
So going on from your subject that you brought up about...
The sugar beets, yeah.
Sugar beets and the pesticides that are used with it. We are trying to make sure that we have a little bit more of a animal friendly pesticide experience.
Part of the fact that we have to think quite pragmatically is we've got a dog and he has free range of the garden, so we do have to be careful anyway in what we would put down.
Yeah,
so things like
slug pellets
are not good for dogs. We have had a ratus in the garden that is now no longer in the garden because we had some humane traps out.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
removed ratus from the garden. But the choice then was, do we put poison down? But then it was like, actually, we can't. Not only do none of us feel comfortable with that anyway, but we couldn't think about it because it's not safe for the dog, and it's not safe for the environment either.
No.
So we're trying to be as environmentally friendly.
If you have bait that you put down, you are then looking at it washing into the soil system that you're using.
Just, it wasn't
and
something any of
there
us
are
comfortable with.
There are complications with it. And this is why I think our route of trying to have some sort of natural balance of pesticides. I mean, you have pointed out to me recently about our companion planting idea.
Yeah, so the idea with companion planting, and I think permaculture does the same thing for this. I'm not as expert in permaculture at all because it looks far too complicated for me. I like square foot gardening because I can count things in squares. I'm good at that. But permaculture looks a bit too confusing. I'm sure it's great. But that basically the idea with companion planting is that you plant things near that are helpful. So like...
Marigolds,
a lot of gardeners plant marigolds to almost sacrifice them, which is quite sad, really. But but the slugs absolutely love them. So generally they'll munch
plant
on the marigolds rather than the plant that you don't want
next
to eat.
To something valuable that you
exactly.
want to harvest.
And you also do things like you plant onions next to carrots because onions will repel, I think it's carrot fly. Is the one that gets carrots.
Right.
So it's kind of those sort of things work together, which is really, really nice if you think about it.
It's something
and it's
that I'm going
to
have
like
to have
climbing beans, you can plant them with corn because the idea is that the bean climbs up the corn. I've never got that to work, but apparently if you can get it to work,
well,
it's really cool.
Maybe we should try that this
year. Yeah, we'll give it a try.
This year.
Yeah, we'll definitely give it a try.
But yeah, I mean, the whole companion planting is quite new to me. There's a little bit of research that I need to do.
But you have to also think about, if you've got a companion plant, then you've got something that's the anti-companion plant. I can't even think of the word today. But it's basically what you shouldn't plant with those plants because it doesn't work with them. So I can't remember what they are. I need to do some more research about it. But when I'm planning my garden, and actually our next podcast is all about garden planning, which I'm quite excited about because I've already got a spreadsheet. Got a lot of spreadsheets.
I'm hoping you've got a lot of research on this.
I have. I've been doing a lot of research. Well, I don't want to give too much away today. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
But because I'm doing the garden planning, I'm actually now at the point of actually planning out every single square foot of our garden about what's going to go where, at what time of year. I've got it really scientifically organised now. But I'm looking into companion planting so that we can make sure that things are planted next to each other in the right places.
Oh, I like the idea of that. Yeah, I mean,
try and maximise it.
And to maximise, and as you say, you are going to have some sacrificial plants.
Yeah. And shame, I like marigolds. They smell nice as well.
They do. Maybe we should just have some in the house.
Yeah. Like, I mean, marigold.
I think you can plant marigold or have marigolds as houseplants.
Does that mean I'm going to have to give up my windowsills that have currently got peppers on them?
Maybe. Maybe
some of the peppers are looking a bit dead.
Maybe you should sacrifice.
Oh, but they've grown so well. I've actually got our listeners can't see it obviously because this is only audio, but I've actually got one pepper plant which for the last year has looked dead. It always looks dead. It looks like in a really bad condition. Yet it keeps, it's not peppers actually, it's chilies, and it keeps on giving us chilies, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure.
It doesn't stop. It's just keeping on chili all the time. We've got so many chilies off of it, yet it looks perpetually dead constantly.
Yeah.
It's quite an impressive plant, really.
You have a multitude, and you don't know what ones are what, do you, really?
No, because I didn't label them properly. So I've sorted that out this year.
Lots of chilies. Or we have
lots of things that are supposed peppers, to be peppers. That
or we
are not
have
producing.
A mixture of both.
Yeah.
But I mean,
the worst thing is some of the peppers are actually chilies. So some of the ones that look like small sweet peppers,
probably
they
habanero
might be chilies. Yeah.
Like
and some of the ones that look like big chilies might just be sweet peppers. That's why.
So does that mean that I'm going to be your sacrificial?
Well, that's what you did this year when I didn't know what it was. I was like, hey sis, what do you think? And you were like, oh, that's quite nice. In the back of my mind, I was like, oh, that's good. I wasn't sure if that was like a jalapeno or something.
Remember, I like chilies. And you
but
know
I would have noticed
out,
if you'd suddenly been like, oh my God, that's hot. And we'd been like, oh, that is the hot one then.
You do know that they all come under the same umbrella, don't you?
Yes, I can't remember what their Latin name. That's it, capsicum, isn't it? Yeah. That's the one that your mum's allergic to, isn't it?
Apart from normal bell peppers.
Wow, that's a bit weird. It must be something to do with the spicy.
I think it is the spicy. So there is a anaphylactic sort of.
Oh yeah, no, we don't need to give her that
issue with it. So.
Remind me not to cook her a chili con carne if she comes around. Then yeah.
Even the smallest traces, she will taste and that has chili in it.
Yeah,
and
let's
people
not do that.
No, it doesn't.
So when I give her a pepper plant this year, I need to actually make sure it's an actual pepper plant.
That would be nice, thank you.
Yeah, I bought, I did add them, they arrived the other day. I bought her some plant markers. They're actually lolly sticks because they make really good plant markers. Yeah. Only though if you write on them with pencil. Every pen I've ever written on just washes off, even Sharpies.
Well, I should imagine that's to do with the ink flow.
Yeah, but Sharpies are supposed to be waterproof. It's really annoying. That's why I haven't known what any of the peppers are, because they've been Sharpies washed off. Anyway, that's a totally different topic. Moving on.
Right. So we've got bird boxes and feeders.
Yeah. We've just come out of, I think it was National Bird Box Week. Was it either last week or the week before? One of the two. Not that long ago. So we're putting up some little bird boxes. Last 3 years. Yeah, 3 years. We've had, I don't know if it's blue tits or great tits. I thought it was blue tits, but then I found out that they're very similar to great tits and we've got both. But they've been living in the bird boxes. So we've got little baby chicks.
What's very cute. Now?
I don't know if they're now, but they know where the bird boxes are and they've used the same ones in the last 3 years. So hopefully we'll have them.
Fingers crossed, people. Fingers
hopefully
crossed.
Hopefully the new shed won't freak them out too much.
There's somewhere for the for these to land on if they start fledging too early. Really.
I've watched them actually having their flying lessons. It's quite funny because they fly out of they get out of the box and sit on the fence. And then they basically just dive bomb into the bush. And you can almost see mum and dad kind of sitting on top of the fence, rolling their eyes like, oh, for goodness sakes.
Do you not remember last year when we were sat in my local pub?
Dougal.
Oh. We had a fledgling bird that had decided to chuck itself off the guttering of a two-story building. And myself luckily and some of the other Dougal. Patrons...
Yeah.
It decided that we'd try and save him.
Luckily for Dougal, it landed on a pub umbrella, didn't it?
Yeah.
So it actually had quite a soft landing and then kind of landed on the floor after it fell off his umbrella and looked up at me like, help. I kind of scooped him up in my hands. I was like, oh my God.
The parents
it's so cute.
were really quite aware that they'd lost themselves there. A Dougal. Yeah.
He got called Dougal, by the way.
And we put him back into a hedge and left him to his own devices. I mean, that's all you can do, really.
Yeah. We actually put a post out on Instagram about this. It was yesterday, a day or so ago, I can't remember. It went out at some point. About finding fledglings. The RSPB has really strong rules about that, really strong advice about it. They say that if you find a fledgling and it's got feathers and that on it, it's got like a half decent amount of feathers, like fluffy feathers, then as much as possible leave it where it is, because mum and dad, the birds, know where it is and they're going to be helping it. However, their only caveat is if it's in immediate danger. So for example, Dougal fell off the umbrella, bless him, right in the patio area of a busy pub, so and he obviously couldn't stay on the floor because he'd get squashed.
I haven't told you either, have I?
Oh no!
That,
did Dougal not live?
Oh no! Nothing to do with Dougal.
Oh,
but
that's all right.
In the same garden, those I think it's blackbirds.
Oh,
that
I love blackbirds.
And there has been cases of blackbirds being taken out of this garden by birds of prey.
Oh no!
So it's that I would class as immediate danger, really. But it's a survival
it's
of...
It's difficult with that one, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, it's they are prey for the... But I don't like the idea of it, though.
Yeah, like, just swooped down, picked one up and flew off with it.
I'm so glad I've never seen that, because I'd probably cry, in all honesty.
I find it really quite fascinating.
It is fascinating, but it's really sad.
It's... there was... I think... My parents used one of the, again, the blackbirds in the garden, in the pub garden, used to call one, it was probably multiples of the same species, George.
George, yeah, George is a good name for a blackbird.
And
only the boy ones, obviously. George and Georgina.
But I'm sure it was one of the Georges that ended up disappearing.
Oh no!
And it's a natural course, isn't it?
It
natural
is, but it doesn't course. Mean it doesn't mean it's nice. So what I'm hoping, we have rules that if when it's springtime in our garden, because where I've put the bird boxes, they're in the kind of the small yard area, which is actually fenced off from my normal
apart
garden.
Apart from your robin one.
From the robin box, which I don't know if they're going to use, but I've got two robins that keep flying in the garden, so I'm happy about
again,
that.
Again, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. But I know with the boxes, the other little bird boxes, the ones that got blue tits in it, the rule is as soon as I know that there's blue tits in it, the dog doesn't go anywhere near them. So they've got a chance to actually not be terrified.
Without being stressed so much.
Yeah, then they don't need the dog barking at them to welcome them to the world, especially when they're having their little flying lessons, bless them. So, yeah, but I'm hoping those robins will also make home, because we've definitely got two robins, because I work at home all day, every day. Thankfully, I don't have to go into an office and it's staying like that. Great. But I'm very lucky that from my vantage point on the sofa, I've got a good view of one of our bird feeders, one with the fat balls in it, and those robins are there every day. We've got sparrows there, blackbirds,
that's because
massive pigeons.
That's because you feed all the birds.
Yeah, all of the birds have got really fat around here. That could be because I keep feeding them lots and lots of food. I keep filling up all the bird tray. We've got like we've got two bird trays, one feeder that's got fat balls, and then one feeder that's got seed in it.
You know that come later spring, summer time,
mm-hmm.
you aren't going to be able to continue doing that.
Why?
Because they will have their own food to go and collect and eat.
What food? Why aren't they going to be coming in my garden?
So they may well come into the garden.
Am I going to have to dig for worms?
You cannot force feed animals.
But they know where the food is now. You should see those birds. I swear, when the bird seed feeder, the one that's got bird seed in it, not the one that's got fat balls in it, when that's empty, I can't see it from where I sit during the day, but I know when it's empty because the birds start sitting on the fence opposite, looking at me like, our bird seed thing's empty. Can you please go and fill it up?
Predominantly during the winter months, you feed them, darling.
Well, hopefully.
During the summer months, they have enough of their own food.
Well, as long as they don't eat my seedlings, I'll be all right.
I was thinking berries and things like that.
I said, as long as natural they don't eat
diets seedlings. Instead of
worms.
Worms as well, but
slugs. Do they eat slugs?
You'll have to do some research on that.
Right, that's it. How do I encourage the birds to eat slugs? That's what I should be looking at this week. But yeah, but no, we can talk about that in our planning our garden for the next year, which is next week's podcast.
Oh.
See, we're getting ahead of ourselves now, despite the fact that today's is a day late. Because, you know, life.
Yes, unfortunately.
We are working on sending this podcast out every Wednesday, but honestly, life this last 2 weeks has been crazy.
Yes, it's all fun. All fun and games.
It's all fun and games. But yeah.
But I think we should really round this up and say goodbye to you lovely bunch. And
yeah, well, we hope we'll see you next Wednesday. If not, it'll be next Thursday. But hopefully next Wednesday. But yeah, it's been lovely to talk to you again.
Until next week, this is goodbye from Mr. G.
And goodbye from me, Nikki. Bye-bye.
Bye.